Hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, a podcast focused on that zero emission future that we all hope for. I'm Paul Kirby and every week I get joined by one of the wonderful team of the EV Cafe. And I have the lovely John Curtis. JC, good morning and welcome.
Well, greetings. Are you well, dear?
Not really. I'm a bit bunged up, which is why I sound desperately sexy. And
desperately deluded.
Yeah, well, maybe that too. Anyway. But anyway, we are lucky again this week. We get joined by some amazing people, and this week is no exception. We are joined by an innovator, a pioneer, and a collaborator in the world of stickers, or livery, or printing, sustain. Anyway, we'll let Kirsty tell us. It's Kirsty Robinson, everybody. Yay! Welcome, Kirsty.
Great introduction. Love that.
Well, good. We work hard on these things. Anyways, Kirsty, it is a real joy to have you. We're just fresh from the EV rally in real time as we speak. And you guys were brilliant in terms of providing all of the stickers. And I know I loosely call them stickers. They're far better than stickers. And also you provide a lot more, and you can tell us about that in a second. But it was the all the livery that went on the vehicles, particularly the vans, you know, because they're my beloved vans. And livery and stickers look great on vans. They actually looked good on the cars as well. So there was some really cool wraps and different bits and pieces. But Kirsty, tell us a little bit, you know, who you are, where you're from, and the company a little bit. Go for it.
So I'm Kirsty Robinson. I'm one of the business development managers at Stuart Signs, and my role is very much focused on the fleet side of things and also sustainability. So it's incorporating both of those to support people not only in the decisions they make now, but also putting roadmaps together for them and helping them plan their future. Stuart Signs is a company. We started just over 60 years ago, and Roy Townsend was our founder, and he actually had been working with 3M. And he saw a kind of gap in the market to move away from the paint-based signage and sign writing and move into kind of vinyl stickering. So he did that. And ever since then, we've kind of grown and grown, really, based in Southampton. And we do everything from, as the name suggests, is that excitement for Southampton?
You betcha.
John gets a bit overexcited.
The roar of the crowd for Southampton. So as the name suggests, we do signage, but we also do rail, fleet and marine. So we cover all of those areas from doing the stickers, as Paul calls them, all the way through to kind of full station takeovers on out-of-home advertising and things.
Kirsty, who was Stuart?
Well, I just want to clarify something before we find out all about Stuart. We would call them in the trade livery and graphics. Let's not demean what you do by stickers, because I mean they are very good stickers. But graphics, and wraps and things that go all around a vehicle or a train or a bus or everything. I mean, it's pretty comprehensive. And having been down to see the factory, it is quite impressive. And we can talk more about that later. But John, your question.
My question is to wait so that you can undo the damage you've done by causing offence to our guest and calling them stickers. I see.
Yes.
I understand how this is going to roll. Kirsty, who's Stuart?
So Stuart was the father-in-law of Roy Townsend, who is our founder, and basically he put the money up. So he provided the money to start Stuart Signs and therefore had the business named after him.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
And we do know who is this Stuart fellow?
No interest still? So the Stuart family, nothing to do with the business anymore?
No, that was his first name. So his first name was Stuart.
With a wobble U?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. So you talked about sustainability an awful lot, and I'm fascinated to understand why you bother, because let's be honest, you could just be chucking up any old wrap onto a vehicle, and as long as you do it professionally, people are going to clap their hands and say, fabulous, well done, looks beautiful. Why does sustainability matter to Stuart Signs?
Well, it's always been kind of one of our key areas that we focus on. And the reason for it is mainly because we believe it's doing the right thing. And we're also very much aware of the amount of vinyl that goes on a van. So if you think about a fleet of vehicles, you've got a huge amount of vinyl that can be damaged in accidents, can be coming off, can be might have on there five years. That is a huge amount of impact. So what we do is we like to support people in finding the best solution for them. And it is quite an intense market. There are a lot of claims of what materials can do. And it's just finding the best option that actually has a true tangible solution. And the market's been very receptive to it. A lot of people spend a huge amount of time looking at new vans and charging infrastructure and all that kind of thing. And this is actually a really simple switch. You never compromise on the durability or the vibrancy of colours, the quality. It's all still sometimes actually better than less environmentally focused products. But yeah, it's just important to us and we want to support customers who have that demand.
It's a sort of an exciting additional element to the whole sustainability process, because obviously, you know, for my world in vans and commercial vehicles in particular, we use a lot of this stuff. Because every vehicle is a billboard, really, for some people's businesses. And some of the graphics that you guys produce, they're telling people. Do you know what, Kirsty? There was an interesting stat. When we back in the day when I was working with LeasePlan, we did some survey, some research around the importance, the value of vehicles to customers each day, and we discovered that first of all, if you have one van traveling around the city of Southampton, that 24,000 people will see that van in one given day. It's an incredible number, isn't it? And I mean, and that's how important this is to businesses. And this was a feature in the total cost and value of a vehicle to a day. I mean, what is the experience that customers are sharing with you on how important livery is and, you know, all of that kind of thing?
So quite often it's actually, they don't see the importance of it until it goes wrong. So it can be very damaging to their brand if they have a vehicle that's potentially missing a panel of graphics or the colours have faded. So we look at that side of thing to make sure that their brand is always staying kind of prominent and up to the high standards. And also the continuity is a big thing for us. I mean, we've had some companies where they've said, I've just looked out the window and I've got 10 vans and they're all a completely different colour of blue. So basically what it does is it kind of makes sure that if your vehicle is in Edinburgh, if your vehicle is in Exeter, we're making sure that that brown colour is the same throughout.
So you talked about damaged elements of a vehicle. So we know that when there's an accident, you know, you might get a wing that's damaged or you might get a door that's damaged. And I wonder, I seem to recall you talking to me once about being able to almost predict which panels on a vehicle are likely to get damaged if they're going to be damaged at all, and the impact that has in terms of cost and rewrapping and making the thing back to how it should be. Have you done anything as a business to sort of formalise that and provide that information and make it easier for fleet managers to be able to get their graphics where they need to be? And if damage does occur, it doesn't damage their brand.
Yeah, so it's part of our kind of waste management thing. So helping people reduce waste and also reduce their vehicle off-road time. We have an accident repair portal. And when we get a design, what we do is we break it into individual elements. So you're not having to replace the entire side of a vehicle. You might just be replacing a small part. So on that portal, what you can do is you can log in, you can order the part you need, and it can arrive at the body shop ready to go. So there's not a gap where the vehicle's been repaired and then, oh, right, hang on a minute, we're going to need another couple of days to get this re-liveried. It all comes together in the same place. And what you can do as well is it gives analytics, the portal. So what we're able to identify is key areas that maybe have a lot of damage. So you could say, right, hang on, the driver's side rear wheel arch, we are constantly replacing that. Number one, what that can identify is, hang on a minute, maybe we need to do some driver training. Maybe we need to look at what's going on there. Is there a problem with people not able to see that? Maybe we could, like, it might be changing the mirror. It might be moving something on the vehicle. It might be really silly thing. Like we had it where a customer was taking out their ladder and always putting it on the side of the vehicle. So we were always replacing a certain part of the design. And through our analytics, we're able to say, well, hang on a minute, what's going on here? And then we ended up, the company fitted clips to hold the ladder. But those little isolated incidents all come together to build up a really big case study. And we can also learn on the design side of things. So it might be that the vehicle has a swoosh along the side and we're always replacing what?
A swoosh?
A swoosh.
What the technical?
Swoosh. A swoosh.
A swoosh. We like swoosh.
A swoosh. But you might always end up replacing that element. If you actually just move it up 5 centimetres, it's going to remove it from that high frequency area and remove the need to replace it. So, yeah, less waste, less cost, all those kind of things.
And Kirsty, we've talked about sustainability a lot here. So can you explain to me what happens? The wrap is taken off the vehicle. It's just a big ball of sticky plastic.
Yep.
What then happens to that to make it more sustainable? Why is yours different?
So it depends on the product that you go for. Some of them are recyclable, some of them are non-PVC. But what we do is we like to obviously keep a track. So every vehicle that we wrap, we keep a log of exactly what that vehicle has been wrapped in, so we can then dispose of it in the most appropriate way. So we compress it all and then it gets recycled.
Ah, right. So it truly is a virtuous circle. You are using a sustainable product to great effect for the business, but it doesn't damage the environment once it's done with or damaged or whatever. So that's really, really helpful. Thank you.
And definitely like a non-PVC option is really good for that, as in the actual in manufacturing of it, it's a lot less environmentally damaging. There's lower toxins. So it's better at the beginning. Then you've got a long life. And then at the end of it, it doesn't actually matter. Well, obviously, ideally, it would be recycled. But if it does go into landfill or combustion, what is being released into the environment is a lot less harmful. So that's one of the main things that we kind of say to customers is, what are you doing at the end of life of this vehicle? Because it could be that it's wrapped in this absolutely amazing product that is completely recyclable and, I don't know, even biodegradable or something like that that's coming in the future. But if you're keeping that vehicle for 10 years, you've obviously got a long time from when that vehicle is wrapped to when that livery is going to be taken off. So it's very much an educational piece about making sure that it continues all the way through, because a lot of companies will sell their fleet to an auction house and they will remove the vehicle, but they will de-wrap the vehicles. And it's just making sure that that is done in the most environmental way.
Mm. Okay.
And it's interesting that this whole process, because we've thought about the livery itself. What about the glue? Because, you know, I know that, you know, we've just had these vehicles for the EV rally, and really they needed to be on for a week, maybe 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, and then they were going to come off again. Is there a difference to the adhesives, and is it done appropriately for a week and then for up to 5 years, right? So there's customers out there that with livery on that might last the full 5 years. Talk me through that.
Yeah, so you get anything from vehicles that are short-term removable all the way up to ones that kind of you're looking at 12, 15 years durability on them. So that's the most important thing about deciding what is the best material for you. And that can depend on lifetime. It can also depend on what type of vehicle you're wrapping. So if you've got very deep recesses, you're going to need something that's got a higher adhesive so it's not going to pop out and cause damage to the vehicle. So what we used for the EV Rally was Envision 48, and that's a removable version of that. So it's a non-PVC for short-term use. And we didn't have to use heat or anything to remove it, as it's a low adhesive, low tack. So it stays on there, does what it needs to do, and then we can remove it without the use of excessive heat or chemicals.
Very impressive, Kirsty. And what's clear is you know your stuff. But I'm curious, how did Kirsty Robinson end up selling livery for a living? what's been your journey to get to here? Because very few people choose the automotive sector out of choice. We usually end up tumbling into it somehow. What's your journey? How did you get here?
So So previous to Stuart Signs, I was actually working with 3M directly. So I was one of their kind of salespeople and supported accounts, including Stuart Signs, to be honest. So I kind of really got my bearings there and found out about it. And there I was looking at everything from Dynoc, which is an environmentally focused interior solution, delivery side of it, signage, color change for vehicles. But I actually really found the fleet side of things incredibly interesting. And it's one of those you're driving down the motorway and you see all these vans with branding and you don't really even think about it. And then you actually understand more about the industry and it's like, oh, hang on a minute, there's a huge impact that this can have. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a one change from 3M into Stuart Signs, but Stuart Signs are a platinum partner of 3M. So it's been they're very aligned with their goals and also on the sustainability side of things.
If I may, before I let John jump in, because I know he'll want to, you've mentioned that you became aware of the impact that you can have. You've moved from one environmental sort of scenario to another environmental scenario, but within that livery and graphics environment, what started in you that made you aware and interested in protecting the environment or doing things that were environment or climate positive?
Just seeing how, I mean, Stuart says there's no getting away from it. We do work a lot with plastics and vinyl and all that kind of thing. So historically, that is a non-environmentally focused product. But what we're able to do is it's kind of, I'm sure you agree, Paul, there is so much going on with the innovation in this area at the moment that there seems to be a new product, something being developed every day. So that was kind of where my interest started, that actually this is an area that if you help customers and guide them in the right direction, you can really make some big environmental changes. I've been doing an Oxford University sustainability course, which was actually funded by the UV Cafe through the bursary side of things, which has been amazing. It's been really clever in thinking about making sure there's a demand, making sure the product's right, so pulling it all together. But yeah, it's just a really interesting, an interesting industry where you can have a huge impact, I believe.
I'm fascinated by this because it's an area we never speak about. But you provided the livery for the EV rally, as Paul has alluded to. What else have you done? Can you name names? What are you really proud of having delivered for Stuart Signs? Is there any big names in there?
So we're actually about to post today about an Avanti project we've done, so the West Coast Rail, and that is their new environmentally focused train. So it's all about, I don't know the ins and outs of it because I'm not in rail, but check out the post later. but we've wrapped that in Envision. So that's another thing where you think about a train, you think about the number of carriages, you think about the amount of vinyl that's needed there. It's a really key way that we can do it. We work with BT, so we've worked with BT for over 30 years now. We look after the entirety of their fleet, and they are very sustainably focused. So the accident repair side of thing, that's a really big, important area for them. So making sure that we work with the body shops, work with everybody to make sure that their vehicles are back on the road as soon as possible and looking good. We work with Amazon, so we work with them all across Europe. We're doing some stuff in Mexico at the moment, I believe. So, yeah, we've got some really big names, but there's no kind of work with anybody that's looking to make the vans look good, basically.
Yeah, but what that does is it gives a huge amount of reassurance that you are a trusted partner for massive organisations. BT, I used to work there. I was there when the first new logo came out way
the
back when.
The first phone was invented.
Honestly, yeah, it's that long ago. And I know that there was such pride around how that vehicle looked. Because it was so different and it's a hugely important area. What's the focus going forward? So you've got all these big customers that are coming to you and saying, look after our entire fleet. How do you then focus on particular things that you want to achieve? Is it just anybody will do, or do they have to fit with your ethos?
No, they definitely have to fit with our ethos. We are all about kind of making sure that it's a roadmap. I mean, it does sound really cheesy, but it is very much a kind of journey with Stuart Signs in that we think about what are you doing now? What have you got coming up in the next year? What's your plan for the next 5 years with your fleet? So we can just make sure that we're giving really bespoke advice on products that are coming out. There are some really exciting new things. There's a short-term vinyl that is made out of corn. So it's something that's new coming to the market, and that will fit into the environmental side of things. So it's completely bio-based. But we know that that's not going to be right for every client. So it's identifying what their needs are, what they want to achieve, and then kind of fitting in the best solutions for them. So, yeah, with Stuart Science, it's all about the quality. We give warranties. It's all about getting it right the first time around and making it look good.
I love that idea of corn-based wrap in the sun, baking, and it just goes pop, 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 pop.
Interactive wraps. You can eat
just
them.
Have a little nibble in the corner.
Oh, dear. Oh, my goodness. But so, Kirsty, I mean, this has been some journey, and it does seem like that there is a real onward trajectory. And I'm thinking, because I love the fact that you have taken on the bursary and learned, you know, the Oxford University course. That sounds amazing, by the way, and really well done, because I think, you know, it's easy to get stuck in not developing ourselves as we go
Bless
along.
You.
Bless you. but it's just one of those things that, you know, if we don't invest in ourselves, then, you know, we don't grow. But cast your mind back to, you know, to growing up, and what was the environment like for you, and the school, and, you know, what, talk to me about that.
So how do you mean, sorry, from the actual kind of what it was?
You personally, you little human being, you, just finding out, you know, how, you know, what was, because I'm conscious that lots of people from lots of walks of life listen, and, you know, they might be thinking, well, yeah, but I'm not qualified, or, you know, I don't know how to do this. Well, you know, what was school like for you? How did you come through that? And college, uni, if you did uni. I didn't, but, you know, some people do. Usually to drink, it seems. But anyway, yeah, go.
So to be really honest, well, hopefully you're going to be like, no, but I have never been a hugely academic person. I've got a twin brother, and he was always regarded as the very clever one. And so it was like, yeah, Kirsty's creative and James is very, very clever.
Creative.
Oh, she's a creative one. So I never really saw myself as academic. It's something that I don't find particularly easy, but I really enjoy doing. So I did actually go to uni, but I only stayed 18 months because I just knew it wasn't right for me. So I'm very much about, why would I learn about how to do something when I can actually get out there and do it and find out what's going on? So that's kind of where I've been in my whole career, really, is kind of finding out, asking the questions, knowing what's going on. And it's a very interesting, like, it is, the uni course was hard. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't kind of something that I found easy. It was a lot of commitment, but hugely, hugely interesting. And I think when you get those key bits of knowledge, you can apply it to any single area. And so, yeah, it's just kind of really learning more and applying that is the way I look at things.
I was just gonna hone in on something, if you didn't mind, and I know, I mean, look, it's life has got its ups and downs, and there are challenging moments in life, and I can imagine that arriving at that point 18 months into your course must have been a really difficult time for you. I mean, obviously you've come through really, really well, and look at you now, you're doing a university course that is going to support you in the trajectory that you're on. Life throws some curveballs at us and gets us to difficult points. How did you navigate? How did you arrive at that decision? And then how did you navigate that difficult decision to go and do
something
different?
It's like a counselling session now. I feel like I'm going to leave a new person.
just lay down on the couch. You'll be
tell
fine.
Tell me about your past. So, yeah, it was a really difficult decision, because I think in my group of friends and the family, it was almost what was expected. You're expected to go to uni and come up with a qualification and then go from there. So I think with everything, it's all about just reminding yourself what is actually right to you and being true to yourself. I have bit of this kind of thing where it's a bit like, if you think about your morals, who you are, what you stand for and everything is your outline. So that is the outline for you. And the more you dilute that outline by compromising and doing things that other people want you to do, the more you lose who you are. And nobody great ever did anything by diluting who they were. So it's all about just really staying true to that and kind of thinking, actually, do you know what? This could go wrong, but if it does, at least I know I've done what I wanted to do. And that was the other thing I used the bursary for, was a St. John's Ambulance mental health first aider course. And a lot of that was about the strategies and a lot about this, the whole kind of it's okay not to be okay, but also thinking about triggers for you, what you do, how you get over things and all that side of things. So I think the mental health is hugely important. And yeah, just knowing who you are, I think, is one of the most important things, and that will get you through most problems in life.
All right, well, let's dig into that just a bit. So I'm going to wave a magic wand, Kirsty, and you are now getting the rest of the day off. My question to you is, how would you choose to spend that to make you the happiest you can be?
I would see my friends. So I'm quite unique in the group of friends that I've got. There is six of us, and we met on the first day of nursery. So we have been friends since day dot. So we have, I've got kind of, I'm 37 now. So we've known each other for over 35 years. We have got pictures of us at every single one of our birthday parties. I've just got back actually from a hen do at the weekend. But yeah, we've always come back together. So I'd see the friends, because I think they know me better than I know myself.
Oh, isn't that? And we all need friends. You know, in those times you were talking about your mental health course, I'm doing mine on the 19th of July, inspired by you, actually. And friends are key to getting through the difficult days. Yesterday, Paul and I had an early morning call and I just completely flipped. I just lost my head completely. And he's like, it's okay. It's not an issue here. And he explained it all to me in a way I could understand, which really made me feel special. Whereas before we'd have probably argued, but he's learned to understand me and I've learned to understand me, and somehow we get through. It's important, isn't it, to have those people that you can lean on through life, because we make it look as though life is fabulous, but frankly, it's blinking hard some days.
Yeah. And one of the things we often say to each other is we call it the rule of five. So it's not something we've created before, people are like, oh, but it's, will it matter in 5 minutes? Mm-hmm. Will it matter in 5 hours? Will it matter in 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years? And it's very rare that anything will actually last longer than 5 minutes. That's kind of just a little thing that we do, like, is this actually going to really matter?
You will matter in 5 lifetimes.
It's quite the legacy.
Look at that. Sorry?
I'm glad you found me inspirational, by the way.
But yeah, seriously, that was genuine.
Yeah, lovely. It was. And honestly, as you spoke then, it was very encouraging. And it's the sort of thing that I think people will latch into, because a business is brilliant, right? And what Stuart Signs are doing is good. It's innovative. It's sustainable. It's really customer focused. It's delivering value to an industry. It's quite narrow, but being human delivers to everybody.
Yeah.
And you've just been incredibly human, and I love the rule of five. I want to ask the thing, because I've got stuff, probably about 5 or 6 things that lasted a hell of a lot longer than 5 years, which we won't go into right now. But it's so tempting, isn't it? Because we've all got those things in our lives, and they do shape us. And in another session where we have briefed you on counselling and all that sort of stuff, and we've got counsellors on hand to help afterwards, we'll ask you about those things, but not today. What do you see the future holding for both Kirsty, but also for Stuart Science?
I think there's going to be a big push towards technology. So moving towards kind of the VR, the 3D side. Oh, that's the shock that I've had. The lightning bolt has fallen.
My flash has fallen off.
So yeah, technology, we're already using it at the moment where we do a 3D scan and then we can use that to do templating. So what that means is we're not having to send someone to do the physical templating. We're saving on carbon footprint. We're getting things more accurate. That means there's less waste material. So moving towards the technology side of things. And for myself, I think kind of long future at Stuart Signs, I hope. So really pushing forward on the sustainability and how we approach business. A lot of those new innovations that are coming forward, pushing those out into the market. And really the educational piece, that's a lot of what Stuart Signs do. We're not kind of get this product, it's going to be perfect for you. It's kind of talking to the market and saying, okay, well, what are you looking to achieve? What does sustainability mean for you? So really working with people and helping them through what can be a kind of slightly up and down market. So, yeah.
So I was really fortunate to come, as I say, to Stuart Signs some while ago and spend a day or some hours with you guys, and I had a good tour of the factory, saw some of the original kind of ways of doing things, the screen printing and all that kind of stuff. And then we also got to see the other end of the spectrum, the AI, well, not the AI, so it's not AI really, it's virtual reality, isn't it? The virtual reality. And I had a look around and I put stickers on, and I mean, you know, it was a really cool feature, and it really is, it does make that difference, doesn't it? To use technology in a way that is beneficial, both sustainably, but also just, you know, it saves time, doesn't it? And yeah. Headaches and heartaches.
And you can also, it's very good for customers who are thinking of maybe doing a rebrand or just changing things up with their livery. You can actually have that vehicle in front of you and you can move the graphics and reposition things. And then you can look at it, walk around the vehicle and say, well, actually, does this look right? Or hang on a minute, is that not going to sit perfectly there? Let's move it before you actually commit to wrapping that vehicle and potentially wrapping a number of vehicles. It makes sure that you're getting that design 100% how you want it. You can be there as a group saying, well, actually, hang on a minute, what if we make that logo a little bit smaller? And what if we move this? And then we can learn from the analytics and say, well, actually, where you've got element A, let's just move that slightly. So from the very, very beginning, you're starting off with something that is going to have less damage repair graphics and things like that. So yeah, it's all about kind of almost that preventative side of things, as well as seeing what it's going to look like, making sure that it is really going to work for you.
Hmm. You salespeople, you business development people work to targets and you push hard to achieve success. What does success look like for Kirsty Robinson?
Good question.
I know.
So yes, there is kind of obviously the target side of things, but what I get the most kind of feeling of success and the most positivity from is actually those slightly more challenging ones where I've spoken to somebody with a fleet of vehicles and they say, oh no, we're all sorted. We've got this liver and we're using this material. And you actually start to push and say, well, okay, what happens with this? What happens with this area? What happens at the end of life? How are you sorting out this area? And there's almost a kind of penny that you actually see drop when you're talking to them and like, yeah, actually, maybe you're right. This isn't the most sustainable option. Or you get companies saying, yeah, we spent thousands, sometimes millions of pounds investing in moving our fleet over to electric vehicles. We're all sorted for the sustainability. And it's like, well, let's just take that back a step. You're all sorted for sustainability, but you're still wrapping them in a product that only it might have a short lifetime. So you need to think like, if you're going to have that vehicle on the road for 8 years, why are you using a product that has got a 4-year durability? So you're going to need to replace it twice. Maybe let's look at something slightly higher spec that's going to be on there for the whole time. So that kind of, I'd say changing people's mind, but kind of educating them and then actually looking at the product at the end and saying, this is where we started and this is where we are now. And A, it looks amazing, is being environmentally friendly, and we've also got a really kind of strategic roadmap of where we want to be in the future and where we want to take you.
So let's assume that you're able to get that fleet manager to say, yeah, come on then, you've got what I need. Do you, as a human being, celebrate success, or do you just go, great, got that, now what? And you move on to the next one.
you have to celebrate success. Like, I work in sales, so it's not this kind of picture perfect. Everybody's like, yeah, this is great. Let's use Stuart Sign. So you need to celebrate the successes and do that with the team at Stuart. So we're very much from the people in the studio to the people that do the production. It's very much a kind of family atmosphere. We're trying to get everybody to come together. So celebrate it with them, celebrate it as the sales team. And yeah, just... and learn from it as well. I think if you celebrate something, then you take the time to actually look at it and be like, well, actually, this was amazing. Why was it amazing? And what can we learn from this? So, oh, yeah, all about the celebrations.
That's good to hear.
I'm curious, as because you're obviously quite competitive. You like a challenge, it seems.
Yes.
And you enjoy that sort of... Sorry?
Yes, you saw me at the bowling.
Yeah, that's very true. Where did that come from? I mean, because obviously you're a twin, is that something come from having to fight for a little bit of attention? I mean I'm not saying that in a sort of diva-ish kind of way, but is that where it's come from, do you think?
Well, to be honest, no. So me and my twin he is completely the opposite of me. Very, very chilled. My parents got him tested because they thought he might be deaf as a child because I would just steal things and push him over and he'd just sit there very like, So they thought, oh, maybe just get this one checked. But no, I think it's actually from a part of me that always wants to do better. So I always want to kind of achieve more and kind of, not only winning more business, but in every aspect of my life, I want to be kind of better at, I don't know, it could be budgeting or better at doing, I do art, so I want to do better paintings, I want to do this. So it's all about kind of pushing myself just to make sure I'm always doing the best. So I think it's a very much internal thing, which can be tricky if you've got that internal competitive thing, because you need to kind of register where the good things are. And that, again, is why it's always good to celebrate the success, to acknowledge it. But no, it's very much an always looking to grow and further myself.
Oh. Well, I mean, I'm curious now about painting. What do you like to paint?
Nudes. No. Do kind of animals and boats and things like that.
Nude animals.
They're always nude. They never wear clothes.
In boats.
Nude animals.
The Owl and the Pussycat takes on a whole new meaning.
That's funny.
Very good. Well, hopefully, Kirsty, one day we'll get to see some of this art. That would be fabulous. It's not got any on the wall behind you, no?
No,
it's very disappointing.
Sadly not. We've got animals. Send me pictures. I do them.
Yeah.
Wow. You don't get an offer like that every day.
That's it. Puss Puss will be on her way.
20 minutes a day, the one time that I completely switch off, do a little sketch.
Well, you live and learn, eh? Didn't know that about you.
But that, isn't that good? Is that so you do every day 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Almost like a meditation.
Yeah. It's the only thing I do where I'm completely absorbed in that.
So, yeah, Paul goes out and kisses a van for 20 minutes every day.
Yes. Anyways. Which will be the lucky van today?
Particular fan of the Maxus. Iveco, yum.
Oh, dear. Well, listen, Kirsty, it's been fabulous to get to know a little bit about Stuart Signs and also a lovely little bit about you too, and great to understand your journey, that you know, being a twin, coming up into uni, finding that that's not the journey that you wanted to go on, that there was a new way, but that's brought you to a very, very solid and stable place, and wanting to kick on for Stuart Signs, but kick on for Kirsty Robinson too. We're thrilled that the EV Cafe have been able to be a part of that journey in both the university course and the mental health course, a course I've done myself as well. Incredibly helpful, incredibly useful. And thank you for being human for us, because I think that people can really engage to that and see the human side of the people within businesses like Stuart Signs, and what makes them everything that they are. So thank you, Kirsty. John, any final thoughts?
Yeah. What's come through is a very confident person who really knows her stuff. And Kirsty and I have known each other for a while. And I think it's fair to say, Kirsty, that there are days when you lack the self-belief that we've seen today. And what I love about you is that you are vulnerable enough to say, I'm not feeling it today, but that you are professional enough to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and give a really great account of yourself. And I would ask people to, you know, shout out about Kirsty, share the podcast, because she's one of the most authentic people I know. If it's going well, she parties like heck. If it's going in a different direction and it's tough, she recognizes that, but just keeps moving forward, sideways, sometimes backwards, but keeps moving. And I think that is the inspiration that you are. So thank you for that.
On that point, obviously, I did the mental health first aid course with the bursary from you guys. So I just would like to extend that to the EV Cafe audience, everything kind of, if anybody is struggling and they just want to talk or they want some advice, please just reach out to me. It's completely separate to Stuart's. I'm not going to be like, okay, I've given you some support, now let's talk about your livery. Completely separate. But if anybody, like, I think it's really important that people do talk. So honestly, feel free to connect with me, send me an email, whatever you need. I'll support anybody in any way I can.
Oh, that's brilliant. And a great way to end, because at the EV Cafe, you know, as has been evidenced, we are all about mental health and being positive. We began in that very difficult time of COVID, and we're still here 4 years on. Goodness knows how, but we are. And it's because I think we've got that focus on the human. And business comes from humans. And we are loving getting to know the humans that are in our world, that we collaborate with, that we connect with, and that innovate to make a change. And Stuart Signs and Kirsty have done that to the T. So thanks, everybody, for joining us for today. And we really look forward to the next conversation. Do share this conversation, as John just encouraged us to do, with your friends. Kirsty, there'll be a link in the bio to follow her on LinkedIn and connect up with her at Stuart Signs. So that will be great. And do check out some of the other podcasts. They are all wonderful. And they're over on evcafe.org. You'll find them there or on your favourite podcasting channel like Spotify or Apple and all those good places. So until next time, thanks for being with us, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. Have a great day, everybody.